We see postings of pictures of love on the internet quite often. It's a puppy smooching the little one in the family. You know, it's our oldest daughter posted a picture of Winston. He's a labradoodle, and he's a pretty good-sized dog. And so he will get on his hind legs and put his paws around her and give her a big lick. And so, you know, a picture of love. Picture of an elderly couple in the park holding hands, taking a walk. Grandpa with a baby, both asleep in the recliner. A picture of love. And these move us, and they touch our heart. And they bring expressions of awe. But the greatest picture of love, if you think about it, is a picture of the empty tomb and the cross. For that's what Jesus is talking about in the gospel reading. It's about how the Father sent his Son. And on the day of his baptism, said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, whom I love." And he loved him because this was the plan of redemption for humanity, for all people, for all time. And Jesus is the Word made flesh. We use the word incarnate. He is love made flesh. For he is God's gift to us. He could have given us chocolate wrapped up with a bow and, you know, but it wouldn't have been the same. It wouldn't have done what Christ has done for us. It wouldn't have carried away our sins. It wouldn't have fulfilled the law. It wouldn't have overcome death and the devil. It wouldn't have given us new life. Chocolate and Easter bunnies and all the other kinds of gifts, whether he went to Jared or he got him a Rolex or whatever it is, the things of this world, the acts of love, the signs of love, are still only a very dim glow compared to the cross and the tomb. And God calls us to be alive in Christ. Alive in the one who was love made flesh. Alive in him and to abide in him, to remain in him. He calls us. And in our Christian walk with God, we get glimpses of the love made flesh in the flesh of those people around us, especially our moms. How a person of God loves unconditionally, even when the children are a mess. Even when they've dirtied the diapers again and they were just changed. Or they got in the mud in new clothes. Or, and on the list can go. You could name the stuff that you did and the messes that you made and the fights that you caused and the spills that you... Excuse me. And the spills that you made in the house and all of that. And yet, the godly mom loves and forgives again and again. And sometimes we see that love in other relationships, from our fathers, from our siblings, from our friends and acquaintances, and in the church. But it starts with the tomb being empty. That Christ has overcome death. and given us a new life with a new kind of heart, a new kind of love. The Bible even talks about how we are a new creation. So when we have pictures of love, anyone can love a puppy. And most grandpas, you know, love their grandchildren. But it is far above that kind of love is this love of Christ. Because this kind of love endures. Martin Luther, I wrote down a quote from him. This is a paraphrase because it was written in old stiff English. Okay? Martin Luther writes this about Christ, as if Christ is speaking. He says, Jesus says, I love you. I will not leave you in your sins. I will not leave you in death. I give my all, life and body, all for you. After my resurrection and you have received the Holy Spirit, I give you my purity, holiness, death, and resurrection. And with my love in you, as I am in you, let my love be reflected in your love for one another. Pretty good, isn't it? Written a long time ago, and yet because of God's word being endless and ageless, it applies today. But then, a few paragraphs later, he writes this. Warning. The Bible is full of warnings about sin and the ways of the devil. Because when it comes to God's love for Jesus Christ and Christ's love for us, the warning can be summarized to say, do not let the devil, the world, and your own flesh overcome you. But think of how Jesus loves you yesterday and still loves you today. Recall to mind what Jesus spent on you to make you righteous and to save you and to make you acceptable to the Father, to make you his people, his servants, his disciples. And so take courage. Think of what Christ suffered for you in your place. He took the greatest of pain. His love for you is the same love in you. His love enables you to endure, to suffer, to cope with hardship, to persevere. You see, so often we think of love as pure pleasure. A good piece of chocolate, a great steak, crab legs or lobster or shrimp or whatever your favorite food is. A nice wine, maybe a single barrel of Jack Daniels if you like that sort of thing. You know, it could be just simply French fries from McDonald's, or it could be a boat ride on a lake. Going skiing, downhill snow skiing, you know, sledding, and all the things like that. We think of love as I love, and some people have Chicago Cubs or the New York Yankees, or I love the Tennessee Titans. We think of the things that give us a thrill and pleasure in this life. But is that really love? Is it unconditional? Is it forgiving? Is it accepting? Because when we think of Christ's kind of love, think of these. Christ loves you when he was not accepted, when he was not appreciated, when he was not respected. Christ loves you. He loves everyone. The love that he puts in you, therefore, is a love that empowers you when you are not accepted, when you are not appreciated, when you are not respected. Because Christ's love is what it is, you share it with everyone. That's the love of God. That's what Christ says we are to remain in. It is what enables us to stand together during a worship and say, "Peace be with you." It is what brings us to worship maybe early instead of right on time, so that you can fellowship. And it's the same love that enables you to stay instead of rushing out the door, trying to get wherever you're going so fast. But it is to take time to be with the fellow members of the body of Christ. It is that kind of love that enables you to come by and serve on a house cleaning day at the church. It is that kind of love that enables you to pick up the phone and call when you haven't seen someone and you wondered if they were sick. It is this kind of love that enables you to serve when others didn't serve and you go, "It's not my turn again," but yes, it is. This is the love of Christ in which we remain, in which we stand, in which we live, in which we exist. Why? Because of the cross and the empty tomb. And there is no love that is greater. Amen.